We are searching, like the song says, we're searching for the stone. David searched diligently for the stone that would overthrow the opposition of his day and bring to him the peace of mind and bring to Israel the comfort and consolation that they needed. And down in the valley, he found the stone that fit the little sling that brought to an end the threat of Israel. The Bible speaks of the stone that is hewed out of the mountain that was not taken out by hand, saying that it will come rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. And it tells us that it grew until it filled all of the world. Practically everything has had its day. I think most of us will agree that all kind of artists have had their day in beautiful paintings. Men of great artistic ability when it comes to music, like Elvis Presley and others, they've had their day. Movie stars have had their day. Scientists have had a great day of learning and enticing people. And there's been a great day of money making and spending and architectural ability and display before the eyes of the people. There has been a great victory and triumph in the medical profession as men have come to great heights and achievement in the medical world. And there's been great men and great things that has happened, but Jesus has yet to have his day. And with all of the great wonderful doings of mankind, the powers, the majesties, the integrity, the kings and all of the orders and the prince of the earth, yet there is yet one to come whose name is Jesus, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the one that shall capstone the entire operation. And we are at the time of his coming and the time when he himself shall take his place above all of the majesties of the earth. All right, let's read just a little bit from the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter. And I want to say again that we're grateful to have you here with us. Especially grateful to have Brother J.T. Parnell. He wasn't here in the early part of the service when we spoke concerning him. But we are grateful to have him here with us. And also our Brother Reby and family. And I'm so glad to know that Brother Reby has moved back into this area. We perhaps will get to have more fellowship now. He's been away quite a bit. We're thankful tonight for you and we appreciate every one of you. Let's read just a little bit. In the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 20th verse, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which was done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, that which art exalted unto heaven shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon ye and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, today I noticed the paper, and we noticed what Castro had said in his talk about equality and how that the rich man and the poor man should be alike as far as having equality. I'm sure that he had reference to communism, whereas I know that communism is only a type of the real move of God, which is all things common, which will be the right government. But I'll tell you that communism is not the right government, neither is capitalism or any other government. So far as that goes, it's going to have to be Christ as government. But for right now, capitalism is about the best government you can have till Jesus sets up his. Now, but I noticed the term that he used in referring to what would be the answer to the problem was the revelation. That's what he used. That was the terms that he used. Now, he used it in a little different manner, as it is given by Bible scholars. But nevertheless, it has to do with the revelation. And so then, it is really something to know that God uses a man, even Castro, who knows perhaps not anything about God, yet God uses him to rebuke a nation. Now, notice here, the Bible said that Jesus began to upbraid the cities wherein the mighty works of God had been done. A lot of times we don't feel like God is concerned about Atlanta, Georgia, or God is concerned about Monroe, Georgia, or God is concerned about the great cities of the world or the great countries of the world. But it says here that he began to upbraid those cities. He began to be concerned about the people as a whole, the masses of people. Christ was concerned about them, and he spoke to them as a mass of people, saying that if the mighty works had been done in other cities that was done in you, that they would have repented long ago, referring back to cities that never had a chance to have him enter into them. Now, Christ today is upbraiding the world. You know, he's upbraiding cities across the world. And we're told in the revelation of John that we're going to see those cities as the great skyscrapers crumble to the ground because they have not repented of their sins and turned to God. We can play a game as long as we like. We can keep going through life saying all you've got to do is believe. Keep going through life and having a religious game by joining churches and being part of this, a part of that. But I want you to know that it's going to take living according to the Word of God if we escape the wrath of God and if we have the favor of God. It's going to take honoring God's Word, conforming to God's Word, and it doesn't just mean you and me, it means the entire world. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. God said that without offering any apology. All people that forget God, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. So then destruction is waiting for every person, every city, everyone that forgets about God. Just saying that you believe is not going to be sufficient. We're going to have to come into something, folks. We're going to have to come into a knowledge of God. I preached that the other night, that we're going to have to come into a knowledge of God. We're going to have to begin to understand the Word of God, and we're going to have to begin to live according to the Word of God, having our fruits under holiness if we expect the end thereof to be eternal life. If we do not expect eternal life in the end of what we're doing, then we don't have to worry about it. But if we are expecting to have eternal life in the end of our endeavors through life, then that means that we're going to have our fruits unto holiness. Jesus, he says here, Father, I thank you because thou hast hid these things. Now, I want you to notice this. Hath God really hid these things? God, have you really hid these things? Is it your will that these things should be hid? Well, here we are preaching. Here we are trying to tell the people about the great things of God and make them to understand the great things of God. And all the time you're trying to hide the things. Lord, are we working contrary to you? Are we going one way and you going another way? Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things. Father, why hast thou hid these things? But see, he did not leave it like that. He did not just say, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things. But he said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent. You follow me? I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things, but just from certain people thou hast hid these things. Thou hast hid these things just from certain people. That is, I would have certain people to know. I would have certain people to understand what I'm doing. I would have certain people to look and see. Where the Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. He that hath an eye, let him see what the Spirit is doing before the eyes of the church. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, but thou hast made them revelation or revealed them unto babes such as are willing to learn from the word of God and from the ministry. The eyes of the wicked shall never see. The Bible said, and the wicked shall not see when good cometh. The wicked shall not be able to see the good things of God. They may study. They may search. They may be highly educated. They may go through all of the seminary things of life and all of the learnings of life. But I want you to know that they will never be able to see what God is doing. The Bible said, I hath not seen. Neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I hath not seen, they've never taught it in school, it's never been revealed in college. There has never been anyone that ever went to seminary and got it. I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it been made known to anybody at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed it unto them by his Spirit. God hath the revelation. God hath revealed it unto babes. God hath the revelation. What does God mean that he hath revealed it unto babes? When you say babes, you mean people that are not mighty in the world. The Bible said not many mighty are called. You take people with a lot of prestige and people with a lot of education and people with great degrees in the earth and people with a lot of power in the earth. Great men. They are not referred to as babes. So then God says, he hath hid it from them with all of their ability and skill and searching. But I have made it known to babes, those that don't have any understanding, those that don't have any talent, those that don't have any education, those that are very poor that cannot help themselves. I have given them something that the great rich man doesn't have. I've given them something that the professional man cannot obtain unto. I've given them something that money can't buy. I have revealed something unto them that the world cannot see, for the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Hallelujah. That makes me feel good. Glory to God. To know, Brother Reby, that God has given us something that the world can't get a hold of, it thrills my heart. You know, the world has always monopolized off of the things of the world, always taken everything away from the average individual, and the average individual can't seem to have anything. Because they that are great in the world always, they get around it with their ecclesiastical endeavors and efforts, and they form a group, and they take that, and the average individual is cut out. buy a little piece of property, get anything that might be yours, and the taxes and the agreements among the money men and the interest and everything. After a while, they eat it up or take it away from you or swindle you out of it, or they've got some kind of conniving way to work something up and work the law against you, using the law for their own personal advantage, to work the law against you until they bleed you of every dollar, every dime, everything that you get a hold of. But glory to God, there's one thing they can't do, and that's take this wonderful prize that God has given unto us, to take this wonderful thing that God hath reserved for us. I'm glad that he kept the best wine for the last. All of them went after theirs, and they got theirs, and they've done their thing. But praise God, it's time for the church to do their thing. Did you know that? Hallelujah! It's time for you and I to do what God wants us to do now. All right, so then it's wonderful tonight to know that God hath reserved something just for you and something just for me. I can't help but notice the things that happened today. Now, I wish we just had plenty of time tonight. I always do. When I get up here, I just wished I had hours just to talk to you about the magnificence of God and the wonderful revelation of his divine mind. See, tonight, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, what did he say? For it is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Hallelujah. This is the hour of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about, Brother Pine? This is the hour when those babes are going to get a revelation. For the Bible said just as quick as that babe was born, he was caught up to the throne. How can that babe be caught up to the throne? By a revelation. He's a babe, but when he gets that revelation, he just transcends the barriers of earth, goes over the head of all the knowledge and understanding of this world, and finds himself heads and shoulders up here above all the intellectual powers of the earth, all the dignitaries of the earth, all the money powers of the earth, and stands there with that mind of Christ, with the word of God, a rod of iron ruling the earth. Hallelujah. So then it's the hour when the church is fixing to do the thing that God has for them to do. Now, there are hundreds of thousands of people across the world being blinded. There's churches everywhere that feels like that they have the thing that God is doing. But if you stay with them a little while, you'll find out that most of them are just running into a lot of confusion, a lot of problems, and they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know where they're going, and they don't understand, and they're fighting and fussing with each other. But folks, I tell you in the name of the Lord, there is something that will bring a body together to where they will see eye to eye, speak the same thing. They won't break ranks and they won't pierce each other through. Now you say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that they won't do that? Because they'll be afraid to. They'll be afraid to. They'll be afraid that they'll be left out. Like in the days of the synagogue, they was afraid that they'd be turned out of the synagogue. They were afraid. And brother, when the real revelation of God comes and they see the beauty of it, they understand it, and they begin to get a hold of it, they won't have any desire to be left out. They won't have any desire to be set aside. And they'll do anything to keep from breaking ranks, anything to be with that brotherhood. They'll do anything. They'll give their lives to be part of that move of God, because they'll know that it's like the song with the saints go marching in. They'll want to be in that number. They'll want to be in that body to move with Christ Jesus. They'll want to do what God hath ordained for them to do. It'll be so beautiful that millions of youth will file and flow into it, and hundreds of thousands of people that are aged will fall aside because they did not see, they did not understand, they did not apply themselves. They fought it, they wrestled with it, and God cast them aside. But there'll be millions of people that will flow into it as we move on to Canaan. Hallelujah. All right, so then we see the wonderful works of God, the wonderful things of God. I have here at Bethlehem a lot of people that feel that they're spiritual. And a lot of times I pick up their spirit and they're trying to scrutinize, and they're trying to figure me out, and they're trying to discern me out, you know, and they're trying to work this thing out according to the way they understand it. And I think a lot of times when I pick up their spirit as I move around in the Spirit of God, I think, Lord, how foolish, how childish they are. But think of what they could do if they get into the Spirit of God and get in here and mean business and really go with God and be part of the great move of the mighty God of heaven and of earth. You know, it's so wonderful not to be guessing. It's so wonderful to be in a stream, to be able to talk with God and communicate with God and know what God is saying and know what God is doing. You know, science. There are some great scientists in the world today, and many of them know what they're doing. Did you know that? When it comes to the scientific side of life, you can search that thing out, and they know what they're doing. And there are many people in the world today that belong to God that know what they're doing. They are searching out the things of God, and they are following the ways of God, and they are uniting together more and more and more. And everything that is unlike God's beginning to fall aside. You know, it's beginning to fall off. And you know, another thing that's outstanding is that person that always seemed to be the oddball. That person that always seemed to be a little bit too religious. That person that always seemed to be the one that couldn't fit with the rest of them. That individual that's always kicked around and found fault with because they want to stand for holiness or stand for righteousness or stand for something decent. That is the person that usually turns up as being God's man or God's woman. The very one that don't fit with the rest of them. You know, we get all upset and we say, my God, I can't fit over here and I can't fit over there. And my God, I just can't fit in society and I can't fit anywhere. Lord, help me. I want to be part of these people. But why do you want to be part of those people? See, you just don't understand. That's what it is. Give it a little more time. Search it out. Maybe you're not part of those people. See, maybe you don't belong to those people. Maybe you're a son of God. Maybe you're a daughter of God. Maybe you don't belong in the barnyard with the chickens. Somebody said one time, maybe you're an eagle. Maybe there's a greater dimension for you. Maybe there's a greater height for you. Maybe you need to move up a little bit. Come up into the heavens up here with us. Praise God. I tell you, it's a wonderful atmosphere up here where I'm at. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a wonderful thought to be like Jesus. To know tonight that there is a revelation, that there is something that God is giving because of Christ. And to know tonight that my heart can be translated into the kingdom of God. My spirit can be changed. My mind can go into the wonderful dimensional things of the Almighty God. And I can transcend the barriers of this world and go up into another place to where I can really enjoy the greatness of God and the greatness of living. You know, we're reaching for high goals. Our goal tonight is great. We're reaching for something that's great tonight, folks. I'm not just playing just for, as the world says, for a penny ante. We are reaching for the great streets of gold. We are reaching tonight for eternal life. Tonight, my heart is set on a goal tonight. What is that goal? To live forever. To have life eternally. Did you know that with all of the riches in this world, with all of the ability in this world, with all of the skill and talents in this world, that you can't live forever? That you got to lay it aside? You got to forget about it? You got to give it to somebody else? They're going to put you in a hole, throw the dirt over your face, and you're going to be left behind? With all of the wealth you got, with all of the education you got, with all of the ability you got, you're nothing but just a little dust. My brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something. If you belong to God tonight, the grave can't hold you. Like the song said, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. The grave cannot hold you if you belong to God tonight. There is nothing that can keep you from your goal tonight. If you belong to God, it means that you are an eternal God tonight. Not just an eternal creature, not just an eternal person, but you are an eternal God tonight. God has made you a God that you might live forever. You are here to live forever, forever and forever. Hallelujah. That thrills my soul to know that not only am I a son of God tonight, not only do I have the opportunity to live forever, but Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. Hallelujah. Ye are gods. You know, and you say, well, what's the difference? As long as you live forever, whether you're God or whatever you are, what difference does it make, Brother Pike? It makes a whole lot of difference. You know, you could live forever as a beggar, as a pauper. But brother, when you think about living forever as a God, you know, a God has the desire of his heart. A God has everything he wants. That's why God refers to you and I as gods, is because he said, I will give you the desires of your heart. I'll give you everything that you want, everything that you could ask for, everything that you could desire, because you are a God. You are a God. We are a God tonight. We have everything that we could wish for. Everything that our heart could want, God has given it unto us. And the Bible said that God hath given us all things that pertain unto life. All things that pertain unto life. And while God will be upbraiding the cities, while God will be condemning the world with a great overthrow, here you and I will be enjoying the wonderful eternal life of God. I will be part of his great kingdom. You will be part of his great kingdom. And we'll have the opportunity to walk down the streets of gold. We'll have the opportunity to see the glorious heavens that God hath made. There we'll be able to see and hear the great angel choir as the melodies of heaven roll throughout that great city, as they roll across the plains of glory, as we see the great beautiful atmosphere and the conglomeration of colors of the rainbow. What a beautiful time that will be. What a glorious time that's going to be. I'm thankful tonight because I have opportunity to be part of that city. I have an opportunity to be part of a city that God will not upbraid. Abraham said, I am a pilgrim and I am a stranger, and I am searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city that hath a foundation. Beloved friend, this world doesn't have a foundation. This world is just one big ball floating around in space. But the city that I'm talking about has 12 jewel foundations that Christ laid, and they cannot be moved. And the lively stones of God, by a wise master builder called Paul the Apostle, who had a blueprint called the Revelation of Jesus Christ, is going to build that city. And Jesus, the chief cornerstone, is going to capstone it when everything is finished. And the glory of it is that the gospel shall be the light of that city. In that city there shall be no need for the sun, for the light of God, the light of the Lamb, the understanding of God shall be the light of that city. I can't help but think about today. I realize that Brother JT coming here has a special significance. Brother JT from over in Kentucky, from where Brother Branham was born, near Berkeley, which is the birthplace of Brother Branham, which has to do with the little tent that we gave to Ted King. A lot of you wouldn't understand what I'm saying. It wouldn't even make sense to you. But Sister Betty and some of them that we've talked to, that, well, we pieced a few things together from the beginning over to this time, would understand perfectly what we're talking about, because the puzzle would fit together good in their mind. But anyway, Brother JT being down here with us, as he is, coming in today, and Brother Leon coming in today, and then Brother Leon stopping apparently right in the middle of the moving of the Spirit, right in the middle of it, and just going out just like that, quick like a light. And then Brother Parnell coming up here like he did, and then the Spirit of God falling and things beginning to move the way that they was. It is a outstanding thing that took place today. It is unbelievably tremendous. And it has to do with all of eternity. It has to do with everything that's happening today to the government, everything that's happening to society today, everything that's happening in the church world today. It has to do with the entire move of God today. And I thank God tonight that I can look and see it. I praise God tonight because I can look out there and see what's taking place. My heart is thrilled and my cup runs over as I see the great things of God taking place. Today, I look and I beheld the beauties of God. And I saw the wonderful things that transpired. And as Brother David said tonight, the great mantle of God as it began to move. I saw the great things of God as it began to transpire. And tonight, I wish we could enumerate them. I know that if I did, some of you would understand and some of you would not understand. And I'm reluctant to do it because of those that wouldn't understand. Because I don't want to lose the minds of them that I'm talking to tonight. That's why a lot of times I confidentially talk to numbers of men that gather themselves together, some that are very spiritual, and we can relate these things to. You know, as Jesus did, many things he did not say to the people, but he said them in private to his disciples. They would slip away and the disciples would get away with him. And God would tell them these wonderful things. And Peter and others would say, Lord, why is it that when you're preaching out there, said you don't preach to them the same way you do to us? Why is it, Lord, that you speak to them people in parables? How did Peter know it was a parable? Because Peter understood what the parable was. Peter understood that there was a deeper revelation, a deeper truth, a deeper meaning to it. Because God had expounded the thing to him. And he would say, Lord, why do you speak to those people like that out there? And the Lord said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not given. Just to preach the gospel to them that they might repent of their sins or either be guilty in the day of the judgment. But unto you it is given to know the great mystery of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why does God want the church tonight to know the mystery? It is simply because there is no other way to escape death and get out of this world except you come into the revelation. You must come into the mystery of God. You must understand the mysteries of God. You say, but Brother Pike, I believe God will come and rapture us away. I know that God will do it. But I say again, there's no such terms as rapture in the Bible. We need to keep that straight. Some intellectual scholars making their intellectual application and summing something up has come up with many names that has been besetting to the children of God. There is no such terms as rapture in the Bible. When you speak of the change of God, it says the change from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from spirit to spirit, revelation to revelation, understanding to understanding. You understand what I'm saying? So then it is a great difference. What must we do? We must understand the mysteries of God. How can I understand the mysteries of God, Brother Pike? You must do it by the mind of Jesus Christ. How? What can I say then? Enoch was translated. How? By faith. So then it's not a matter of a rapture, it's a matter of a translation. For the Bible said it is a translation. And Paul in the New Testament refers back to the Old Testament. And he tells us that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. That's where the greatness of it is. How can I escape death? How can I get out of this world without dying? How can I get past the box that they'll put me in? How can I get over that place where they'll throw the dirt in my faith? By faith in God. You say, but Brother Pike, no one will ever do that. Paul said, I show you a mystery. I want you to listen to this again now. Try to catalog it. We went through it a number of times, but listen to it real good. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. What kind of mystery, Paul? We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. What are you talking about, Paul? We shall not all sleep. I go to the Gentiles because I have a message for the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Those that will be raptured out. Those that will be translated. Those that will become the bride of Christ. Those that are chosen out of the Gentiles. I go to them because I have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation was made known unto me. Pray you therefore, Paul said, that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, pray to God that God will give you as an individual the spirit of revelation. I show you a mystery. What is the mystery? We shall not all sleep, talking about sleep,
Then we say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? Paul was saying we shall not all die. In your terms, we shall not all die. Why do you say die? Because when Jesus got to Lazarus' grave, I remind you again, they said Lazarus is dead. Jesus said that's the wrong terminology. Lazarus is not dead. Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. Oh, you say, well, it's six of one, half a dozen, the other, same thing. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. It's not the same thing. Then you say, how can that be? Because the Bible said that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is passed from death unto life. He is passed from death unto life. If he is passed from death unto life, why then does he die? Somebody tell me, why then does he die? If he is passed from death unto life, why does he die? If he dies, then Jesus Christ is a liar. Somebody say, I love Jesus. If a man dies when God said he would not die, then God would be a liar. The Bible said, he that believeth on me, he shall never come into condemnation. But he is passed from death unto life. Oh, glory to God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what you've got to do is just understand and accept that thing and realize how wonderful God is and never think about God any other way. And just realize that God was just telling you something that you have to believe. Not that it's like that, but you just have to believe it because we love Jesus. Now, a man can be a fool, but that's a big fool. Somebody say, I love the Lord. You love the Lord. Sister, if you'd love him better, you'd be in better shape. Get together with your husband a little more and get your mind off other men. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, so then to be spiritual tonight is the answer. To be spiritual in Christ tonight. You know, some men can make women just shout their shoe heels off. But when it comes to God, they don't know much about that. You didn't know the Lord knew your number was 666, did you? All right. So then God says that we are passed from death unto life. We are passed from death unto life. When the Bible said he shall never see death. He shall never see death. When the Lord said he shall never see death, God was not making believe. God was not using illustrations. God meant exactly the words that he said. He that believeth on my words, he's passed from death unto life. Brother, he meant every word of it, and he cannot die. He cannot die. Therefore, when you put a man in the ground, if that man is a born-again believer, that man is not dead. But if that man is not a believer in Christ, he is dead. And there is a world of difference. Whereas the Bible said, we do not sorrow as they that have no hope. We do not put our loved ones in the ground as they that have no hope. We have a hope of the resurrection. We have a hope of seeing our loved ones. We have a hope of them coming forth. But many put their loved ones in the ground with no hope. They sorrow because they have no hope. But we have a hope of the resurrection tonight. We are passed from death unto life tonight. So then we shall not come into condemnation. Then how then have I passed from death unto life? I've said this a number of times here and I hope you can get a hold of it. The Bible speaks of what Jesus refers to as the second death. The second death, which is the lake of fire, the death of the soul. That is the death that God has taken away. That is the death that Christ has taken away. For we can never die. For the Bible said, and over these, the second death hath no power. These shall live, rule, and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So then tonight, we are delivered from the death of the soul. When he said, ye shall never come into condemnation. Yeah, pass from death unto life. He is telling us that our soul will never die. Our soul is passed from the second death. That sin is done away with. That the sting of death is gone. That sin is no more. And we cannot have the stinger of death plunged into us anymore. That our soul is free from death. That we are free from death. Our soul is free from death. Glory to God, I feel good, don't you? I am free from death tonight. God wasn't just saying that. Brother, he'd done a work tonight. I pass from death unto life. I am alive forevermore tonight. I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I pass from death unto life. I stand here tonight to live forevermore. God didn't lie. Jesus is no liar. God is no liar. He wasn't making believe. He wasn't just using some manner of speech. His words are spirit and they are life. I have his spirit tonight. I have his life tonight. I pass from death unto life tonight. And I stand here a victorian over death. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Hallelujah. What is Paul speaking of? Now let's look at it just a little bit, Father. What are you saying, Paul? What good is the revelation? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, when the gospel is preached, if a man believes on God, he's passed from death into life, he's born again. So then what good is the revelation? If the gospel helps me to believe the simplicity of a gospel, and I pass from death into life, I have eternal life. What good is the revelation? Oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something. The revelation has to do with them that sleep. We shall not all sleep, Paul said. I was caught up into the third heaven and I saw something God was doing. Not only has he delivered us from death, not only has he taken away the death of my soul, not only has he delivered me from sin, but beloved, he hath done something at Calvary that you've never comprehended. And what is that? He hath come out of the grave victorious over death, victorious over hell, victorious over the grave, over death. Tonight, we're victorious over it. Behold, I show you a mystery. What kind of mystery, Paul? We shall not all sleep. Oh, glory to God, I like that. Hallelujah, that makes me feel good. We shall not all sleep. You say, what are you talking about? Sleep, I'm talking about all of us ain't gonna sleep. Now you might sleep and he might sleep and she might sleep and they might sleep, but we ain't planning to sleep. Hallelujah. We shall not all sleep, Paul said. There's going to be somebody that's going to come to the revelation of Christ. And the understanding of God. They're going to come to these great things and the great mind of Jesus. And they're going to understand as Enoch did. That they don't have to lay this body down. For Enoch was translated by faith that he should not sleep. Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Said, I have to talk on your terms and on your level. Lazarus is dead. Oh, but he said, friend, if you could know, he's not really dead. He's just asleep. But to you, to depart this life is death. To separate from your loved ones is death. Somebody would say, well, that's the only thing that makes sense. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because when Elijah stepped on board the fiery chariot, he departed this life. And I don't believe he died. I don't believe he died. When Enoch was translated, caught away in the whirlwind. I don't believe he died. So to depart this life is not death. You say, well, where do you think he's at? Well, it's like Moses. When they took him out there, and they thought he was gone. But then when they went to put him down in the soil, laid him down there, they said, now this is your resting place. And then that great angel of God flew swiftly down from heaven, flew by Satan. The powers of death reached down to get him. And the angel of God flew up in his face and said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Oh, don't you know Satan froze in his tracks? When he reached over there with the clutches of death and he reached down, he thought, my, here's that fellow that's given me so much trouble. Here's that man that tore Egypt up. Here's the one that tore my playhouse up down Egypt. I've got him at last. And when he started touching, that angel of God said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said they disputed over the body of Moses. You hear me now? I tell you again, it did not say that they disputed over the soul of Moses. There was no dispute over the soul of Moses. God witnessed that Moses was faithful in all of his house. But brother, they disputed over the body of Moses. Somebody said, well, what do you think happened to it? You know what happened to it. Glory to God, when Jesus came and stood upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And old brother Elijah that rode up in the fiery chariot appeared in glory. And the Bible said Jesus appeared in glory. He looked over there and there stood Moses in glory too. Somebody said, well, it was his spirit. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You say, but brother Pike, why is it you don't believe it was his spirit? His body was buried. The Bible said, and his grave is with us until this day. I know it does, but it don't say his body is with us until this day. Amen. The Bible said nobody can't find his grave. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, why do you think that was a body, not a spirit? Because Jesus was in his body. Elijah was in his body. Why then should God bring a spirit up? Moses had to do with the resurrection of the dead. Isn't that right? Jesus with those living saints, Moses with those resurrected saints, and Elijah with those translated saints. Isn't that right? There they stood, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit, the three in one. Hallelujah. Jesus said, now look here, folks. Glory to God, you don't have to die to get to glory. Somebody say amen. I said, here's Paul's mystery. You don't have to die to get into glory. Why don't you remember back there when Enoch went up into glory? He didn't have to die. Look at Moses over here in glory. You love the Lord? Jesus said, I'm in glory. Hallelujah. Somebody said, if I could just die, get to heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man who was in heaven, and he looked him right straight into the eye, no doubt, and he said, the Son of Man who is in heaven. You know, Nicodemus probably was shaking and didn't know what to say. He couldn't call him a liar, could he? Praise God, the works he done. He couldn't say that man was out of his mind. He's a liar. Open the eyes of the blind, unstop the deaf ears, make the lame to walk. He couldn't call him a liar, could he? He said, Nicodemus, I am in heaven. Oh, today if Jesus stood here and said that, some of these Bible scholars and these Church of Christ preachers and PhDs and all of these other kind of things come running around and say, look here, you'll know better than that. But glory to God, Jesus didn't apologize. He just stood there and said, there is no man, he said, speaking of the body now, speaking of the man, he said, no man has ever ascended into heaven but the Son of God. The Son of Man said he went up there and he come back from up there and said he's still up there. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, he wasn't even gone up there yet. The Bible says when he spoke, he said, Father, restore unto me the joys that I had with thee before the world ever was. Come and let us make man after the image of Jesus. Come and let us make man in our own image. What image? Paul said Jesus is the given image or the express image of Christ, of God. Isn't that right? Come and let us do it. Let us make them look like you, son. Somebody said, well, here we stand tonight looking like him. According to the Bible, that's not right. Looking like the beast. All of you stand looking like the beast in that fallen, depraved image, because the Bible said you don't know what he looks like. But the Bible said when he appears, we know that we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Old brother Adam lost that image. Amen. God made him in the image, but he lost that image when he stepped out of glory. Isn't that right? Come on, somebody say, I love Jesus. But when them disciples saw Jesus standing over there in glory, they saw that image again. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There he stood saying, you don't have to die to go to glory. I'm the way. I'm the door. I'm going to die, but I'm going to die so you don't have to die.
Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. I've discovered something, that since Jesus died, we don't have to die. We don't have to sleep. Every man won't sleep. I show you a mystery. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial. That's what the visitation has to do with today. That's why Brother JT is over here today. Brother JT's coming today has to do with the resurrection of the dead. Brother Leon's coming today. And those earth movers, that man that's the great earth mover coming over here with those great huge machines, have to do with the resurrection of the dead. I saw in a vision the other night, I mentioned it to some of them, I couldn't understand what it was. I said I saw great, great equipment, great power equipment that was so dangerous that I couldn't afford to get around, it would hurt me. And that's just exactly the kind he's got. I said it had to do with the tent, it had to do with the gospel. That's just exactly what they're talking about with that tract and trailer. I saw innovation there. It has to do with the gospel. What is it? See, he's got those great power lifts just like God showed me in the vision. That means that God is doing something. He said he's going out here and he's going to help us clear this land away out here. I spoke of this out here having to do with that New Jerusalem. Isn't that right? Yeah, say, Brother Pike, you mean you're going to place New Jerusalem out there? No, I can't place it out there. God's already placed that over here. We're just going to put a building out there. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm confounded. Nicodemus was too. You know why? Because the Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. You know where the trouble is? Everybody, the preachers, they're trying to get the professional men to understand it, and the multimillionaires to understand it, and the doctors and the lawyers and the chiefs and everybody else. God didn't mean for them to understand it. This is something that God has given to us. How can you and I understand what scientists are saying unless we have a scientific understanding? How can they understand what we're saying unless they have the mind of Christ? The Bible said, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What is it? The brother's down here today because it has to do with that change. I wish we had time tonight. I do. I wish we had time. I know some of you can't listen, but I wish we had time tonight. Glory to God. What a wonderful experience it is to know that God not only is calling us to preach the gospel, but the Lord God of heaven is telling us of his secrets. For the Bible said, he that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I love to sit under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I love to sit under his shadow. His secrets are so sweet. The Bible said in the days of Solomon that his servants sat at his feet, and they were contented just to sit there and listen and to go nowhere. Anywhere they went, everything was boring to them, that it wasn't equal to what they heard by sitting in his feet. You know, since I learned about Jesus, everything is boring to me. I'd rather sit at his feet. Hallelujah. I'd rather sit at his feet. You know what caused Solomon to be like that? He said, I'm the son that sat at my father's feet. Hallelujah. You know what caused his father to be like that? He was the son that sat at God's feet. Said he's a man after my own heart. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? To know tonight that we're God's. Oh, hallelujah, we belong to him. To know that we're led by his spirit tonight. Glory to God. You love Jesus? Somebody said, well, we finished the message, the anointing's gone. No. Hallelujah. The anointing's never gone until God's anointed leaves. I tell you again, see, it's not a matter of him getting anointed. He is God's anointed. He's God's anointed in the night time, in the morning time, in the daytime. If he meets you down at the creek, he's God's anointed. If he meets you over the service station, he's God's anointed. If he meets you, no matter where it's at, he's God's anointed. If you don't believe it, just pull on the chain a little bit and you'll hear it begin to speak. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God don't get weary, folks. God don't get tired. He just has mercy on us because he sees we're little finite beings. But oh, hallelujah, he's got something to say to you. Many a time I've left here after being here and preaching maybe an hour and a half, been up here in a service for 3 or 4 hours. Many times I've left here and stayed 5 or 6 hours before the morning. Sometimes all night long till the morning come. Up here, you know,
Stand up here this morning. I remember the Spirit was moving, and Sister Betty said God was speaking to her. You know, the Bible said if something be revealed to one, let the other hold his peace. Being the members of the body of Christ, he speaks to us. You know, and he tells us different things. Hallelujah. This morning he was speaking to her. She was telling me some of the things that God was telling her. While God was speaking to her and some of the others out there, the Lord, I kept hearing him say over and over up here, he said, and all things are ready now. And all things are ready now. And all things are ready now. And I thought, well, that's a song. You know, they got a song. All things are ready now. It's the evening time. And I thought, my, isn't that so wonderful? All things are ready now. Everything is in order. Brother JT coming up here like he did. Brother Leon coming up here like he did. The things that are happening, everything falling into place. And I heard him say, all things are ready now. Hallelujah. You believe this year's going to be the end gathering? You believe it's going to be the end gathering? I tell you to get right with God. Get right with God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. Somebody is going to be changed. Somebody is going to be changed. There's going to be somebody that won't go into the grave. You say, oh, Brother Pike, I believe everybody's going to have dirt thrown over them. There's going to be some folks that will never go into a casket or a grave. I tell you right now, there's some people that don't need any insurance to bury themselves because they're not going to need a casket. Amen. Amen. So now, Brother Pike, you talk like that and folks won't take out insurance. You'll hurt the insurance business. Hurt the undertaking business. Someday we're going to put it slap out of business. I'm working to put it slap out of business. You love the Lord? How would you like to see the undertaker go out of business? Somebody say, boy, what a stink that would be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not for the saints of God. Praise God. They're not planning to stay around and smell it anyway. You know, Egypt was a stink, but the children didn't stay around to smell it. They moved on over into Canaan. Is that right? The Bible said in the land stank. Because of the dead frogs and the corrupt blood, everything was a mess. But the children of Israel were shouting victory, setting up a commonwealth out in the wilderness. Praise God, eating the hidden manna. Brother Taylor sings that song, Long Live the King. His name is Jesus. Long live the King. Folks, it's time that we begin to realize that our King is on his way. Let's stand together. Some of you forget real easy. But if you could just remember, there's some wonderful things that I've said that they've got on tape up here. If you could just recall and just remember what it is and what it has to do with, just one or two sermons that we've ministered, it would unlock the mystery. It would unlock the mystery of what I'm saying tonight concerning Brother JT's visit. And it would be so beautiful. It is so lovely. You love Jesus? Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus. God is moving tonight, doing some wonderful things. I don't know of anything I'd rather major in doing my pilgrimage here than to major in life. You know, people want to major in something. I'd like to major in life because I like to live. So I'd like to major in life. What does it take to have life? How can I lead people to the abundance of living? Jesus said, I've come on a mission. What did you come for, Lord? To condemn people, to tear people down, to send people to hell. No, he said, that's not my mission. What is your mission, Lord? I am the Prince of Life. I have come that ye might have life. And not only have life, but I've come that ye might have life and that more abundantly. The word, as I say so often, means filled up and overflowing. And the writer said, my cup runneth over. For the deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God. And where is the water spout of God? This is the water spout of God. For the Bible said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. And the deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God. Oh, to know the deep things of God, to launch out for a, to let your net down for a real catch, to launch out into the deep. A real challenge to some of the young boys here, some of the young girls. If you're looking for something and you want to apply your mind and apply your heart, don't put it into something that's just nothing. Just a book, and when you finish with it, that's all it is. Learning some course in life. Learning about human anatomy, that's great. But there's nothing to it when you run it all out. Studying about the stars and astrology and learning about science, knowledge falsely so called, Paul said. All that's good, but there's nothing to it. It runs out. But apply your mind to something where the deep calls into the deep at the water spout of God, that you can enter into dimension after dimension and heaven after heaven, going up into the lovely glories of God, into life, into the celestial, into the great world of God. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. But isn't it wonderful to know that there is something that you can purchase, a real, genuine purchase, that you can be part of a city that won't be upbraided by God, that's got foundations, a city that will never fall. And Jesus said, if you do these things that we enumerated, ye shall never fall. It is so wonderful to be a son of God. Do you have His Spirit tonight? You say, I believe, Brother Pike, but that's not enough. The Bible said, if you believe, you do well. The devil believes too. He trembles every time he thinks about it. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then that's not enough just to believe. What must I do? Have your fruits unto holiness. For if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His, though you believe. See, you must be born of the Spirit. Lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. So then tonight, get a hold of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Have the Spirit of God. For if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. But you can have His Spirit tonight. Have His Spirit, and then you'll have your fruits unto holiness, the end thereof, eternal life. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. Praise God. I want you to keep praying for us, folks. We're not doing not near what I feel that we ought to do for God, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I, as an individual, I know I'm not. But we together, if we'll link together, keep on praying, keep on fasting, keep on studying, keep on publishing the gospel by our way, by TV, by the printed page, by word, by testimony. Just keep on keeping on for Christ's sake. Just keep on doing something for Jesus. I tell you, we'll be so glad in a little while. I'm glad now, but we'll be so glad in a little while. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. While I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Let's sing it again. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. Oh, I'll sail, though I'll cease no more. Though the tempest weep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again. For I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Do you see the Lord tonight? Do you see the Lord? Lift your hands up and close your eyes. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the word. See if you be in the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. See if your conviction of faith is really on thus saith the Lord. Is it really anchored in the word of God? Is it, beloved friend? Is it tonight? Do you have time for Jesus tonight? The song said, take time out for Jesus, because he took time out for you. Don't you love him tonight? Hallelujah. I feel his divine presence. Oh, at the beginning of the service, we should feel him. At the end of the service, we should feel him. In the service, we should feel him. All the time, we should feel him. Oh, Ramandaramashita, Ramandariandarabashita, Ramandarabasaya. Oh, Ramandaliandalavolo, Shandaramatia, Ramoshita, Barandariandarabosaya. Ola mandali alava si taramanduri andorobo shi taramanduri andorobo saya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yea, I have spoken unto thee tonight by my spirit. My hand is outstretched to thee. Yea, the hand of the Lord is toward thee tonight, because I would bless thee. Yea, I would lead thee as lambs tonight. Tenderly I would give unto thee my love tonight. Yea, for I am the good shepherd that careth for the sheep. Yea, and I will give my life for the sheep, for I am the good shepherd tonight. Over again I shall lay down my life for thee, that thou mightest find the green pasture. For day after day I die daily for thee, that thou mightest be led into the green pastures of God, and that thou mightest walk beside the still waters. The good shepherd giveth his life for thee. The hireling fleeth when he seeth the wolf coming, but the good shepherd will give his life for thee. Yea, though thou walkest through the valley of the shadow of the death, thou shalt fear no evil, for I am with thee. Yea, I shall comfort thee. I shall stand by thee. Yea, I shall prepare a table before thee in the presence of thine enemies, and all shall look upon thee and know that I have loved thee. And yea, I shall make them to come from afar and shall kneel at thy feet and know that I care for thee. Yea, for I love thee. I love thee with an everlasting love. I am with thee. I am with thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's love him tonight. Let's love him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. What a wonder you are. Oh, Ramandari Andarabashi Taramandarabasi Andarabosaya. What a wonder you are. Father, you're brighter than the morning star. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus. Jesus, what a wonder you are. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus,
What a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. Much brighter, much sweeter than the lily that blooms by the way. You're much better, much better than gold. Don't you love him tonight? Do you believe that Jesus is as sweet as we sing about? The song says sweeter each day, sweeter each day. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're much better than gold. Can you sing like this now? The song says everybody ought to know who Jesus is. If you believe that tonight, you know we ought to link together to work hand in hand to do something for God. Let's sing it, can we? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he's the lily of the valley, and he's the bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Do you believe it? Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is.